Most 18-year-olds, no matter how interested in computers, wouldn't have had the chance to talk business with a KGB agent. If Pengo had been asked to describe how he felt about what he had just done in political or even ethical terms, he would likely have shrugged his bony shoulders, rolled another cigarette, and passed the question off not just as unimportant, but as annoyingly beside the point. Politics and ethics, he would say, had nothing to do with it. Hacking was the means and the end, the information and its destination secondary. He wanted a powerful machine to hack with. He couldn't afford one. The Russians could, and it was the Russians who seemed interested in letting him indulge his passion. He might even say that the purity of his purpose struck him as somewhat heroic. His goal was to be the world's best hacker. That he was living what he might have read in a spy novel made it all the more exciting. Pengo was the son of middle-class Berliners, whose lives were torn apart in 1961 by the wall that divided their city. In 1945, 5 years after his father, Gottfried Heinrich Huebner, was born, the first Western troops marched in, and Berlin became a city administered jointly by the four Allied powers. It had been badly damaged, with only half its residents remaining and a fifth of its buildings destroyed. There was no electricity or gas, and drinking water had to be hauled in from the country. In the late 1950s, when travel between East and West required only the price of a subway ticket, Gottfried went to the Technical University in West Berlin to study engineering. Renata, small, blonde, and his high school love, traveled frequently from East Berlin to visit him, against strict orders from her father, an impassioned Communist Party functionary. Renata's trips to the West so enraged her father that he informed the East German authorities of the 19-year-old girl's hostile act against the party. He banished her from his home. Renata continued her trips to visit Gottfried, assuming that she could return at will despite her father's opposition. Fate decided her future, however, during one late summer visit in 1961. On the day before she was to return, a line was cut through the city's heart. The young couple went to the Brandenburg Gate and watched East German soldiers unfurl a 28-mile-long barbed wire barrier. Within days, the Berlin Wall was under construction. Gottfried and Renata settled in Schöneberg, an older section of West Berlin that became famous for its town hall, from the steps of which John F. Kennedy delivered his famed Ich bin ein Berliner speech. Renata was studying graphic design, and Gottfried was just starting out as a construction engineer. Both were pulled into the anti-authoritarian movement, the European equivalent of the American left's counterculture that was sweeping through Europe. They married when Renata got pregnant, and Renata dropped her studies to become a full-time mother. Hans Heinrich was born in July 1968 to a tumultuous time. 3 months earlier, Rudi Dutschke, a brilliant sociology student and pacifist who had founded an opposition party in West Berlin, had been shot and nearly killed outside his apartment on Kurfürstendamm, West Berlin's main boulevard. Dutschke was shot by a house painter who couldn't stand what communist pigs like Dutschke represented. The incident triggered mass riots in the city, and the unrest in Berlin inspired student uprisings throughout West Germany. Hans tended more than most children to give free rein to his fantasies. As a young child, he used the rubble of a partially reconstructed Berlin as an endlessly fascinating playground. Hitler's massive concrete fortifications scattered throughout the city were indestructible, so architects learned to design their way around them, occasionally just building new apartments on top of them. The abandoned bunkers beneath were appropriated by the child explorers of Berlin, and Schöneberg had one of the best. It stretched for half a block, stood several stories high, and reached 4 stories below ground into a catacomb that was filled with endless stretches of ramps and passages. Oblivious to the historical significance of their romping place, neighborhood children scouted its expanse for old helmets, uniforms, and other remnants. The building was a real-life fantasy world, a secret domain perfect for role-playing adventures. Perhaps it was even a first taste of the kinds of interlocking paths and channels that computer networks would come to offer. Partly out of boredom at home, Renata joined a group of mothers who were exploring alternative education for their children. Every day after kindergarten, the 5-year-old Hans went to a Kinderladen, an experimental preschool not unlike the Montessori schools of the United States. Parents of Kinderladen children generally belonged to the anti-authoritarian movement of the time and believed that their children should decide for themselves what they would eat, when they would learn to eat with utensils, and even when their diapers needed changing. Parents like Gottfried and Renata favored uninhibited self-expression in their children, encouraging them to resolve conflicts by themselves and to assert themselves in ways that had been forbidden to their parents. Yet the Huebner family was drifting apart. Hans was still in school when his father and mother divorced. Hans stayed with Renata, and his younger brother, Ferdinand, moved in with Gottfried. Renata went to work as a dental technician, building ceramic teeth, and Hans joined the ranks of latchkey children. He wasn't much of a student. At 10, he was an awkward, slightly plump, bespectacled kid who showed little aptitude for penmanship, English, or art, and none at all for sports. His performance wasn't enhanced by the breakup of his family. His teachers regularly sent home reports stressing Hans's potential, while complaining that he was lazy and disruptive. The only subjects in which he excelled were math and physics. When report cards were issued and Hans called Renata with the news, she would tell him to forget the grades and just read her the written remarks. But Hans had a charm that tended to obscure his failings. From an early age, he displayed a sophisticated, relaxed, and dry sense of humor. Whenever he got into trouble, he was able to talk his way out of punishment, inspiring awe among his more academically diligent friends. His teachers decided that what the young charmer needed was more intellectual stimulation. They decided to advance him by having him skip the 8th grade. But this backfired. The youngster did not throw himself into schoolwork in a more mature surrounding. Instead, he withdrew into his own world, alienated from the classmates for whom he felt little affinity. When he was 12, Hans discovered squatting. Squatting, in Berlin, started in the 1970s when artists, punks, and runaway teenagers laid claim to abandoned industrial buildings, apartment houses, and stores. By 1980, there were more than 100 buildings in West Berlin occupied by squatters. Hans joined a group that took over an abandoned store in Schöneberg, where they set up a punk band. What the adolescent lacked in musical talent, he made up in aesthetic sensibility. His 6-inch spikes of hair dyed jet black soared above his head with the help of copious applications of soap. He completed the costume with black military boots and a heavy chain around his hips. He was now growing quickly, and sharp angles were replacing the soft folds of childhood. The wild adolescent distressed his parents. First, there were incidents of shoplifting, a cola, for instance, or the electronic parts to build an amplifier. When Renata went to the police precinct to retrieve Hans after the cola episode, officers displayed pity mixed with disgust at her for having borne such a son. She was so enraged that she slapped Hans across the face, but she succeeded only in stinging her own palm. And then there was the time Gottfried was called to the hospital to fetch his barely conscious son, who had gone to a rock concert, drunk too much, and smoked his first appreciable quantity of marijuana.